Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. So, I thought, you know, I called my channel Draft Science and Draft Physics and Debate Physics. But it's really not about any of those things. It's really just about people's psychology. And, their inability to stay on a subject or focus on a subject, and instead they just focus on personality defects, aspects of people's personality or some other kind of thing, and they just react to that, and that's all it's about. They just do this red-bellied sneech thing, and their whole existence is lost in this, I gotta call him a name, and I gotta knock them down, I gotta, and it doesn't have anything to do with, what are the facts, how does something work? No, can't have that conversation. So, we have to get somebody in the conversation that is capable of focusing on the subject, the scientific subject. Okay, so there are absolutely no videos, on anywhere available that actually do a comparison between MV, momentum, and 1/2 MV squared as theories. They just try to find some way to make them compatible. They do, separate experiments to say, this is valid, momentum works. And then they'll do kinetic energy experiment over here. As long as they keep the two separate, they can fool people. But there's just really no analysis of the history, why we believe it, nothing. And the fact is the two things are overtly, grotesquely incompatible. And I've pointed that out, that any time you exchange energy between things of different mass, and you do it almost in any manner, any partial energy, anything, you'll get different answers. Momentum will say the answer is one thing. There was so much energy before and so much energy after. And kinetic energy will have a different number. And they'll just, make up some excuse. If the energy's gone, they'll just say, the magic fairies took it away. And if there's extra energy, they'll just say, the other theory's wrong. The one saying there's extra energy, extra momentum. All right, let's do some comments first. Just to illustrate how this just isn't about anything called the truth or facts. All right, so Stephen Bro, I just thought this comment was funny because, again, he's just going to try to harass somebody into believing what he believes. So he obviously doesn't, he really didn't see any of these results. He doesn't even know what Franklin's saying in the video. And he posts this. Please don't think I'm ignoring Franklin's garbage claims. Okay, he talks astonishing amounts of rubbish. So in the video, he typed this comment on, frankly, he didn't talk much rubbish beyond talking about the experiment he did, but he didn't do any theory, so there really wasn't. So I'm in the midst of making a video about his errors and laughable claims. Now, later in the comments, he's going to talk about the fact that he can't read the chart and he doesn't even know what Franklin's saying. So he hasn't realized that Franklin's newest video actually supports 1/2 MV squared, that he actually got results consistent, pretty close to, very consistent actually, with. And he's making this argument as if, so he hasn't paid any attention to what's going on at all. And he's just doing his hate thing. I'm half expecting him to repeat Gary's question. So who is this Dunning-Kruger person? So again, all these nothing insults, they don't mean anything to anybody, They mean something to you because you're some sort of questionable, you have a questionable psychological issue, So, yeah, it could be pointed out and be relevant in some way. But these stupid little jerky comment, you're a jerk, I think, you know, the fact is you're clueless, okay, in a sense of, so you're so stupid, you don't even know, okay, the definition of stupid, okay, which isn't this baby talk, okay? Your accusations have to have a little more meaning than this, and they don't, okay? It's just so goddamn stupid. It's double, okay? You're double, okay? Then we can go to affinity, and then we can go to double affinity, okay? Obviously, your mother was fat and stupid. All right, anyway. Well, for someone who claims not to be a puppet. So, again, where's the evidence of any of this crap in the first place? I mean, I've been pretty critical, frankly, of both of his videos. I mean, quite critical. At least I'm doing it in some sort of more polite manner. But, yes, I mean, I don't think Franklin, I think he way oversold. I think he way underproduced, and he does talk shit in the sense that he frankly hasn't done any research. Okay, he does very good impression of being operated by strings controlled by Gary. So it's just very ironic. Yes, that's an ironic statement in the actual true context. Okay. Have a great, I mean, I just, you know, I made a video like 4 days ago, right? So this was one day ago. Basically saying, you know, frankly, you're just making noise. You know, you're not fixing the problem. You're making the problem worse. You know, you're just, you know, saying a bunch of stuff that's not true. The, you know, Galileo's model of how gravity works is indestructible. Okay, you're not going to break that. Have a great day, John. And we'll speak properly soon. I guess that means on their little Facebook. Oh, God, I just... these people are so pathetic. All right, so you just... He keeps ragging about it. I literally cannot see any details. Anything in the ground. Like... Yeah. Complaining. And yes, you can almost read the graph... if the graph would be of any value. I mean, all I wanted was data, right? So just like Brozo, he can't just produce the data that's interesting. Okay, something going 5 miles an hour and compare it to something going 10 miles an hour. That's the only comparison we need, double the speed. That's the one that's mathematically simple to process. And the simple question is, does it go twice as far or does it go 4 times as far? Now, obviously, that simple question doesn't mean anything to somebody who understands anything about gravity. Gravity's creating the friction. So that's the first thing you have to appreciate, that the friction isn't being created by some other mechanism. It's gravity-caused friction. The pressure being applied to the car, to the friction source, the place that's going to take away the energy, the ground, is completely being controlled by gravity, as I've tried to point out. All right, so just keep more complaint. I can't, literally can't read the actual data. The image quality is blurry. Blah, 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 blah. All that, so he claims he's making wrong claims. He claims his experiment's wrong. He claims, and he doesn't even know what the data said. I mean... this is obviously psychology. This isn't fucking reasonable. All right. So, down here, we get some more stuff. Okay, so, John Walker always has to post, like, 5 or 6 comments to everything somebody else says for whatever reason. It's not that complicated. Measure the height of the launch with respect to the track and put that in the first column. Who cares? It's irrelevant. Who cares how high the track was? Who cares what the slope of the track was? You just care about the velocity of the car. That's the only thing you need, period. And you can't really rely on the dropping distance when you're not dropping it down a consistent ramp or some other thing that's consistent, because you can create an awful lot of friction in the turn and you can lose a lot of the energy in the fact that you're creating a 90-degree change in direction, and you can do that harshly or you can do that gracefully. And that will steal some of the velocity. And then there's the angular momentum. There's all kinds of other issues. So it's just so much better just to measure the velocity of the car. Okay, anyway. All right, measure, calculate the speed at the end of the ramp. Well, we already know what the speed at the end of the ramp. Oh, he means the end of the curve. Oh, Jesus. And write that in the second column, yes. So he wants us to calculate the speed rather than actually measure the speed, which would be really stupid. And yes, Franklin did both. He measured the height and he actually measured the velocity, which is important. Okay. Use the mass of the car to enter the kinetic energy into the third column. So again, it's just not that complicated. All you want to do is see the distance that it traveled and the speed it was going. That's all you need. We don't need anything else. We don't need anybody to do any calculations or any of this crap, because it'll either be a 2-to-1 relationship or a 4-to-1 relationship. Now, obviously, I'm arguing that, no, it has to be a 4-to-1 relationship because it's gravity that's causing the friction. All right, which none of these people will ever get to. That's way over their head. Also note that every high school pupil can see the distance traveled is roughly the launch height squared, or maybe even cubed. So that's how much he takes this physics seriously, that he thinks there's some real possibility that Galileo had it wrong. And it really is not, you know, 1.3, it's 1.9. That somehow, you know, that Leibniz underestimated his fantasy, frankly, free energy theory, and that it's really cubed. You cube the velocity. So, you know, that some, you know, like somehow that's a realistic possibility. He thinks that's a realistic possibility. It's just amazing. So the lever can create, you know, preposterous amounts of free energy. I mean, it's already bad enough they're squared free energy formula, but he wants a cubed free energy formula. But I just mean, why would you even say something this stupid? You're talking about how this is all precise and this is everybody should know and every high school pupil should understand, and then you say, well, maybe the high school student should understand it's squared, or maybe they should understand it's cubed. Yeah. If that doesn't show that the energy has a squared velocity inside, I don't know what does. So he just said maybe it's squared, maybe it's cubed, and that somehow proves it's squared. I mean, how can anybody make any sense out of that? Well, of course, nobody rational could, because the person, frankly, isn't rational. He's a fucking nut. But anyway, so this was... I don't know what the fuck this was. One could also tape a dollar to the roof of the car. So this is a little matchbox car. He's talking about attaching a weight to it, apparently. And repeat a few of the experiments. And what would that demonstrate? You're comparing two velocities to two distances. It just doesn't, mass is just so irrelevant in this case. The difference in distance traveled is due to the extra weight. So... yes, they'll travel less distance because they're heavier. That's sort of my point. Adding coins should show the linear proportionality between the extra mass and the extra distance. So that doesn't make any sense at all. Obviously, the heavier object will collect more gravity, so to speak. It will put more pressure on the track. It will lose more energy more quickly. So he thinks you go more distance if you make it heavier. God, pricelessly stupid. Anyway, that's a very amusing analogy, John. Love it. So there was no amusing analogy anywhere in there. So that's just too bizarre. Where was the amusing analogy? There was no amusing analogy. So anyway, all right. So, So I've already made a video, the last video, pointing out how it actually works. Everything in the video, except maybe one word, is perfect, okay, in terms of it says it correctly, and it points out how it actually works, how gravity actually works. And it points out the hypocrisy of Stephen Bro, because he's already proven, okay, that momentum rules, that there is no free energy, that the kinetic energy formula is crap. And so I already illustrated that experiment. Maybe I'll do it again, just, you know, just because I can. But this is a moot conversation with anybody rational. So I'm just saying, if you're a rational person, you should chime in. Now, the fact that no one, there's absolutely no one willing to just make a video explaining how it works. No one. Except me. All right. So we're just doing a simple thing. We have a ramp and a little car. And the idea is the car is going to have a velocity, okay, when it leaves the ramp, depending on how high we put it up on the ramp, right? And the simple question is that the car going slower and a car going faster. So one's going to have that V and the other one's going to have this bigger V, okay? So it's going to be that simple. So one's going to be theoretically, we could say one's going 100 miles an hour, one's going to go 50 miles an hour. And the question is, okay, now the kinetic energy theory says this one has 400 joules, you could say, right? It has four times the energy than this one has. Now, that's what their theory says. Yeah, I didn't make it up. That's what they say is true. That the faster car has four times the energy, not twice the energy because it's twice the speed, but four times the energy. All right, and so the prediction is the faster car goes four times further. And guess what? That is true, okay? It actually does, that does actually happen. All right, I have to fix that contrast, that's for sure. All right, that should be better. I don't know why those settings keep changing. All right, so what is going to happen is, yes, you're going to get that 4-to-1 relationship in terms of how far it travels. But the question is, what is gravity, right? So gravity is actually pushing the car into the ground. And gravity is a constant force. It just constantly does the same thing to the same thing. Okay, and everything travels the same speed in gravity, but obviously it travels with different amounts of pressure. That is, if you were to allow a feather or a 10-ton weight, okay, to hit your hand, this one in the same amount of travel, okay, in the gravity will weigh an awful lot more, okay? It'll crush you good. All right, where the feather's not going to do anything to you because it didn't collect anything, okay? So the cars have the same mass, so they're going to get pushed into the track at the same rate, okay, by this pressure. Now, I could change gravity into a paint sprayer. We could just argue how much paint is the car going to have on it. So I have the one car and the other car, and that's really all is we're changing, right? The same weight car, so the pressure is going to be the same per inch. Okay, they both have the same amount of pressure. In terms of understanding that gravity will be spraying the same amount. But obviously, if I'm going faster through the spray, not as much spray is going to hit me, right? I mean, I can figure that out, right? And if I'm going slow through the spray, I'm going to get hit with more paint. And the truth is that, yes, the fact is that it's four times the distance, but it only takes twice the time. And you can understand that it's even stranger in the sense that the fact is it's not going to be going, so if this is going 50 miles an hour and this one's going 100 miles an hour, this one here, the one going 100 miles an hour, isn't going to be going 50 miles an hour until it gets here. So it should be going 50 miles an hour here, right? Half the trip it should be now. If it was linear, that is, if it lost the same amount of energy per unit of distance, it should have run to half its velocity here. And it doesn't do it till it gets here. Okay. So this section will be exactly the same as this. Okay. So the whole trip for the 50 mile an hour car will be this tiny 1/4 of the trip for the 100 mile car. And this whole giant three sections, right, so this three piece, all right, it will do in the same time it did this piece. So, you know, this takes one unit of time. This giant piece will be one unit of time. So you can understand that if I compare these two things in the paint sprayer, what's going to happen? They're in the spray the same amount of time, right? So this is going slow. This is going very fast. They're both going to get sprayed by the even force of gravity. And which one is going to collect more? Obviously, they're going to collect exactly the same amount here, okay? The same amount of force into the ground, the same weight. So if it was a scale they were flying across, the scale would say they weigh exactly the same. Same car, okay, traveling faster, but it's on the scale for exactly the same amount of time. So it's sitting on the scale. It's like I put the car on the scale and I say, how much does it weigh? And then I take it off, right? And so it's that simple. It's going to weigh the same amount as this one because, yeah, it's moving faster on the scale, but it's on the scale for exactly the same amount of time. So it's really kind of, you know, you can reason it out that this car isn't doing work. It's not doing the same work here that it's doing here, okay? Well, I mean, it's the same amount of work. That's the whole point. It's not doing the same per unit of distance, kind of obviously. It's doing the same as a total. So there's no, this doesn't show that it has four times the energy because it went four times the distance. Because while it was doing the distance, it was doing less work per foot here. Three times less work here than it did here per foot. It collected just as much paint through this whole process, just as much gravitational pressure as through this one little section. Same amount. So that's why you have this stupid four. But the four doesn't mean anything, okay? It's totally ignorable because the time is two, the velocity is two, okay? The weight is two. Twice as long, twice as much weight. Twice as much time on the scale, twice as much weight. That's it. So the real physics, the real science is right here, okay, on this board. And none of these crappy, shit-talking bullshitters will draw this, explain this, acknowledge they accept these as the facts. Fact, twice the time. Fact, okay, it doesn't go half the velocity till it's three quarters down the track. Those are facts. Fact. Gravity is controlling the friction. Fact. All right. So let's see. Do I need to add anything else to this argument? I guess not. But we'll erase and just quickly do the demonstration that, look, this should be a mute argument for people like Stephen Bro because his own experiment has already proven the point. All right, so the Brozo did an experiment that was really simple, okay, and really did get to the subject pretty well. All right, it's kind of a simple experiment. You push a lever into a spring, okay, creating a force, okay, that will push on the lever by how much distance you push into the spring. So it's a fixed distance. You push the lever back. It's spring loaded. It will swing in this direction. All right. And he launches a two mass object. All right. And he gets a result. Okay. In terms of a velocity. Okay. And the velocity, we'll just say it's a one velocity. And so it's a two mass, and he got a result, and it's, you know, I could just put the number 19 here for the sake of it. All right, and then he redoes the experiment, okay, except he replaces the two mass with a one mass over here. Okay, now the one mass has to go twice the velocity because it's twice as far out on the lever. Those are all facts nobody should disagree with. So this will have twice the velocity arrow, okay. And the result is 11. So you can see 11 and 19, that's pretty close to 1 to 2, okay? Not 1 to 4. It's very far away from 1 to 4, very close to 1 to 2. All right, so it pretty much proves that, yes, there's no free energy. This doesn't have anything like, four times the energy. Well, twice the energy in this case, because I'm having the mass, right? So let's just remember, we're having the mass and doubling the velocity. So we obviously got exactly the same momentum. The same force was transferred into both. This has the same force as this force. This has the same force as this force. Okay, the forces are all the same. It doesn't make any difference. Half the mass, twice as far out, two mass here. Even though the velocity is doubled, so the kinetic energy theory says this has twice as much energy. All right, so I did the experiment one way, I do the experiment the other way. Kinetic energy says this has twice as much ability to do work in the universe, except there's just absolutely no evidence of that. There's no evidence that this has twice as much energy. And what the evidence indicates is it's exactly the same amount of force that went into both objects, and they have the same energy. And so momentum wins, decisive victory. So this is the same as the Mythbusters clear example. They crush cars, they get 2-to-1 relationship. Okay. They swing weights into clay, they get a 2-to-1 relationship. Okay, no sign of the kinetic energy formula being right. No sign of any squared function, and certainly no sign of any cubed function. So I won't even draw a cube. It's no point. So this conversation really should be over. There's enough evidence, to say, yeah. Now, he keeps bringing up an old clay experiment, where they drop round things, into clay. And the problem with that is, obviously, it depends on how deep you go into the clay. So if you don't go very far, then you're mostly hitting this flat surface. And if you go, the deeper you go, the more you're pushing the clay sideways. So the deeper you go into the clay, the easier it is, because you just have to push the clay this way. You don't have to push it down and over. But anyway, so really, that should be enough of a video. The other video I did, it's whatever, 25 minutes, and it proves the case. There's no argument to be made here if you're going to argue the physics and the science. And the only way they can contrive an argument is just playing games with calling people names and shit. But there's just no physics or science to defend 1/2 mv². They can't show any reason why this experiment Brosto did wasn't accurate or correct. And even Franklin Hu's example, where it went 4 times the distance, well, that's exactly what you would expect in gravity. Gravity-created friction will do that. But it only traveled twice as long. It only traveled for twice as long. Okay, so you can understand if it's an even amount of pressure and you're only in the even amount of pressure twice as long, you could only gain twice as much energy from the pressure. That's all you could possibly have. You can't have 4 times. So even though you went 4 times the distance, you did it with only twice the amount of pressure on you, twice the ability to give your energy away to friction. All right. That's enough. Alright. Don't call that a video. But there's nothing. We have to get some real person into this argument. We have to drag the Simon Dan or one of these other douchebags, who's going to be inspected thoroughly and correctly and accurately. Who's going to be accurately, have to be bugged by accurate statements made by people. Have a conversation that's somewhere rational and on the actual physics. So till then, I guess is all I can say. Everything is just a waste of time, essentially, until the point where there's some rational person in the discussion. So until then, there's no hope, apparently. All right. So, till the next time and such. Because it doesn't matter how much evidence you put in front of the John Walkers and the Stephen Bros. They just couldn't care less. Again, their own experiment proves it. And he couldn't care less. He's not worried at all that his own experiment decisively proves him wrong. And he just... he doesn't care. All right. So, till the next time and such. Yeah. It's just so fucking irritating. So this wasn't, like I said, I had no idea this is what it would all come down to. I thought you just had to do good physics and, you know, the rest would take care of itself. You just make a good argument, game over. But no, apparently you have to fight through a bunch of psychological bullshit to get anywhere. And it's just so wrong. It's such a stupid world. Full of giant douches and shit sandwiches. Yeah, that's all there are. Every single other person on this planet is either a giant douche or a shit sandwich. Fuck. I always knew this was a hostile planet, but I just didn't think it was covered in giant douches and shit sandwiches. I thought there was some hope. But... shit. I'll go pet a cat or something. I have to go find a cat and pet it. Fuck. No, I didn't want to do that. No, I want to do this. Yes, I'm leaving. There, see, it's almost a provable fact that I am leaving. Okay, so I'm gone. The end and such.